Hallelujah. The enemy knows the power and potential of this gospel. The enemy knows the power of the Holy Spirit. The enemy knows that souls that sit in darkness can be liberated and set free. He knows, he knows, he knows. And he will fight that he fears greatly, saith God. My hand is upon this people for my word to go forth from this place to penetrate the darkness and set the captive free. Be aware that your enemy will not sit idly by and take heed. Do not fear him, but be sober and very vigilant. But yea, saith God, know that my hand is on you for good, and no weapon will prosper if you will stand upon the very word that I've given you to send out. I, the Lord, will come through time and time again with deliverance, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen. This is a good way to kick off Sunday night alive. Hallelujah. We have Sunday morning alive. Let's just have Sunday night alive too, because I know we're all tired, but there's life in Jesus, there's life in the Word of God, and there's life in the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated for a few moments. Our time is fleeting. We're going to go right into the message tonight and pray that God will use it to touch us all anew and afresh and challenge us anew and afresh tonight. Every day of my life now with 104, actually Tuesday, my grandmother will be 105. Her health is in a state of deterioration because her body is in a state of deterioration. And my dad is 87, and he's had prostate cancer that was supposed to be inoperable, and it was supposed to be very aggressive. They could operate, but he would have probably not made it through all of that at his age and with his heart being weakened. But God healed him, literally healed him, because they didn't have any therapy to resolve the cancer issue. They just wanted to make him live longer, as long as he could, with as much quality as he could get. And the cancer is gone. The last test that he took, he was completely cancer-free. And his last physical, that was the lab test for any cells in his blood. And the last physical test he had at the doctor's office, there was no swelling. And so we're just grateful that the Lord has come through and done a work in him. But my dad is not well, and he's had some real issues with his health. So every day, there's a lot of things that I have to juggle. And honestly, without God's peace and God's grace in my life, it would be absolutely overwhelming. I so appreciate the Lord's grace. It is sufficient grace. If you see me overwhelmed, I'm not tapping into what's available for me, because there is grace sufficient for everything that we face. If God can bring a Corrie ten Boom through the terrible ordeal of a concentration camp, and not only bring her through by delivering her from it eventually, but bring her through without bitterness in her heart, and without her mind all messed up, without psychological problems or spiritual issues with unforgiveness. And if she can be an ambassador of God's love that went to nations of the world without a dynamic message, without a great anointing. We see a lot of people today that have mighty dynamics in their life concerning speaking ability, but we don't see too many people that have the kind of faith that could weather these kind of storms and never become bitter and love God with all of their heart anyway. That's Christian character. And I believe we need more than just anointed people today. I believe we need people with the character of Christ being seen in their life. Corrie had that character. And if you ever get to watch the movie, The Hiding Place, you will learn something about Corrie ten Boom. If you want to read the book is good. It's kind of old stuff. It's kind of like Crossing the Switchblade when years ago when that book was written by David Wilkerson, how God took just a church that was kind of not going anywhere and a preacher that was just kind of going with the flow and turned him into someone who touched his generation, with especially the youth culture and the drug culture, and with such a powerful ministry. To see people set free. It's this gospel that did that, not another gospel and not an edited gospel. Can you say amen? It's this gospel that produced such great results, because there's no other gospel that anyone can bring but that has been given us. If we start messing with this, we're messing with what God has given us in a perfect form. This gospel has the power to transform lives in the first century. It has the power to transform lives in the 21st century. The problem is this gospel doesn't allow for man's pride. You have to become as a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that means getting rid of pride and getting rid of arrogance and being willing to be broken in his presence and being willing to repent that we've sinned against him. Can you say amen? I'm going to talk back on the subject tonight. We're saying subject next week. So we're kind of balancing both of these, but we've talked about regeneration, we've talked about transformation, and next Sunday morning, God willing, we're going to talk about restoration. I love to get to that part of being born from above and born again, when God begins to restore our soul. Praise God. Amen. So many people's lives were in such shambles. It's like the shards of a glass window that had been broken into a thousand pieces. And God takes all of that and puts it back together and makes something beautiful out of something so terrible. He gives us beauty for ashes. Only God can do that. You know, nobody else can do that. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. God is still in the restoration business. I hope we can deal with that next Sunday. You won't want to miss that. But tonight we're going to talk about spiritual awakening again. Responding to God's call for authentic faith. And I want to read to you again from Romans 13, verse 11 through 13 for review tonight in this Bible study. I don't believe that you can be an authentic Christian without spiritual awakening. I don't believe revival is something we can do without except for particular times. Here's something else I don't believe. It will go against some of the books you read, but I read the Bible, so I'm not too interested in the books you read. Can you say amen? Listen to me. I don't believe revivals, and I've read this all my life, and some great preachers have said it. I do not, however, believe it. I do not believe that God just pours out his spirit at particular times, and until he's ready in history for another outpouring, we have to live a lackluster, mediocre, a fruitless Christian experience until God gets ready to, in his dispensationalizing of time, to decide to send revival. You know why I don't believe that, although I've read it from some great authors? I'll tell you why. The greatest author I've ever read is right here in this book. Let me tell you what Jesus said about harvest and about revival, which involves harvest. You can't have a real harvest without a revival in the church. You know, we're not going to have a harvest of souls unless we're revived people. Amen. Amen. Because no matter what kind of tracts we hand out, we're living epistles. We're the ones they read before they read the paraphernalia we give them. Can you say amen? They look at you and they look at me. We're the only Bible some people are ever going to see where God places us in life. And God wants us to have a spiritual awakening. Jesus said, raise your eyes and look on the field. You say there's 4 months and then cometh harvest. Amen. The God that says it's now is the time for the move of the Spirit. Now is the time for God's people to be about the Father's business. Amen. Which is what spiritual awakening is all about. Amen. The God that says that true spiritual awakening always results in effective evangelism. Say that with me. True spiritual awakening. Always results in effective evangelism. A revival without souls is no God-sent revival. It don't matter how many people get holy laughter, how many people fall out. It's immaterial. It's not a God-sent revival until souls are coming to Christ. Until Christian lives are influential enough, amen, to pierce the darkness and touch other lives for Jesus. That's revival. And that's why we all need it for effective evangelism. Well, here's why I don't believe in just this dispensationalism of pouring out. That means we cannot possibly hope to have a revival no matter what we do, how we surrender, how often we pray, until God gets ready. Amen. Well, my Bible said God is ready after the day of Pentecost. Amen. Until the Spirit came, there was a limited what God could do through us. But once the Spirit was given, the limits were off. And the time is now. Can you say amen? And you shall be witnesses to me. Revival makes us effective witnesses. Amen. Results in effective evangelism. Where are we going to be? Everywhere that we go. In Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. Once the Spirit is given, amen, God is ready for revival. Amen. So he says, raise your eyes. You say there's 4 months and then comes the harvest. But I say unto you, raise your eyes, look upon the fields. They are white and ready to harvest. You know what white means in wheat fields? It means it's overripe. You get it now or you lose it forever. That's what it means. amen, there is an absolute sense of urgency in what Jesus was saying. He said, you're putting off what you should be doing right here and now. Now, I know there's people in here read those books, but I'm telling you, if you're praying for revival, you might as well have to quit, because it ain't going to come till God gets ready. God is holding back revival, keeping the soul from coming into the kingdom until he's good and ready to go get them. No, God is ready now. That's what's holding revival back. That kind of attitude is holding revival back in the church. If not us, who? If not now, when? Can you say amen? The Bible said the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Amen? We're supposed to feel that sense of urgency. We're supposed to be about our Father's business. We're not supposed to be waiting for God to suddenly rise up one morning, stretch and say, I think I'm going to send revival today. There's revival in South America where hearts are hungry for him. There's revival in South Korea where hearts are hungry for him. There's revival in Soviet Russia tonight where hearts are hungry for him. There's revival in China tonight. Amen. 20,000 people a day coming to Jesus because hearts are hungry for him. And there will be revival in America when hearts get hungry for him. Somebody give him praise tonight. I've read the books, but I've read a better book than all of them. We're in a New Testament era. We're in a new dispensation of grace. Amen. Once the Spirit was given, he was given so that there could be a spiritual awakening in every successive generation. And real revival doesn't last 10 days or 5 days or 2 weeks or 4 days or a weekend. Amen. One pastor recently said to an evangelist that went to visit his church that was going to preach in the future for him. He just went to visit. You know, he happened to be in town. And he says, this is the Sunday morning service. He said, you got to come back tonight. Tonight is when we have revival. He said, let me get this straight. You don't have revival on Sunday morning because you have to stay within the perimeters of all of your programs and time frames. But Sunday night, you kind of push those back a little bit to let the Spirit move, and you call it revival. Honey, when real revival comes, amen, you don't tell God you can do it on Sunday night, but you let us alone and let us follow our program. We don't want to offend anybody on Sunday morning. We don't even, how can we define revival in those kind of terms? Souls are being lost while God is trying to wake up what I call the sleeping giant, which is the church. Amen. Napoleon Bonaparte had conquered every nation he had went up against. And one of his generals came to him in a chart room because he wanted world conquest. Amen. And one of his generals came in and advisors and pointed at China. And he said, there's vast resources in all of this land. Why don't we attack China next? To take more land for France. And you know what Bonaparte said? He said, let China alone. They have so many people. If they ever understood their potential to put men on a battlefield, they have so many people they could put on a battlefield, but they're not in a war stature. But let them alone. Let them alone. For there lies a sleeping giant. And if you wake that giant up, that giant will shake the world. Red China has an army that they can put on a battlefield right now that would pale any other army, including our own. It's our technology that gives us an edge, not the amount of men that we can put on a battlefield. In Napoleon's day, that was a big issue, and they had the people. He said, there's the sleeping giant. Amen. Let me tell you something. The Church of Jesus Christ, in America in particular, is a sleeping giant. We have the anointing, we have the light, we have the word of God, but we have people so busy with the temporal issues of life, they can't be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, we're not in a go-to-war posture for souls. Amen. And because we're not, armor does us no good. What good is spiritual armor for someone that doesn't have a mind to fight? Can you say amen? The provision of spiritual armor to win every battle over the enemy, amen, is no good to someone without the heart to fight. That is not in a warlike stance. We're the sleeping giant. Admiral Yamamoto, during Pearl Harbor, the greatest success, military victory over America ever achieved took place at Pearl Harbor, initially. They barely lost any planes, and they devastated and decimated a large part of our Navy, and thousands, other than 9/11, that was the most infamous event that's ever happened to America, was a surprise attack on a bright, beautiful Sunday morning at Pearl Harbor. And when they begin to come back, from all of that destruction, come back unscathed, destroying a large part of our fleet in the Pacific. And when they came back with thousands of our sailors dead, and they came back to the aircraft carriers that they had left from. The one in charge of the whole operation was an admiral by the name of Yamamoto. And everyone was drinking sake, rice wine, and celebrating the great victory. But Yamamoto, in his own biography, and those that wrote about him, was very serious, very somber, even melancholy. He wasn't rejoicing over this victory. And when they ask him, what's wrong? We've conquered. We've absolutely decimated part of their fleet and lost hardly anyone in this battle. You know what he said? In a very grim, serious tone. He said, the war isn't over yet. He said, I believe what we have just done is awakened a sleeping giant. And America realized you can't be neutral in some issues of the globe, because it's going to, if this axis conquers Europe, and they'll come to America next, and we won't have anybody to ally with. So we've got to join the fight on every front. Folks, the Church of Jesus Christ in America is not in a battle stance, but we should be. That's why we need spiritual awakening. Yeah. I do not believe in waiting for another outpouring. You know, when outpourings have come, it's when people have got so hungry for God, they wouldn't be satisfied with business as usual. When all the other affairs of life were secondary to serving God and seeking God. Revivals came to any people in any time in history that have done that. No praying people that have put God first has ever done without revival, because God said he would not move to send it. Can you say amen? And I've read the books about it, and it stirred me when I see that. I say, that's why there's no revival. Someone has said God is sitting back on his leaves, waiting for an appropriate time. No, his dispensationalizing, as they call it, to pour out his spirit, amen, has been since Pentecost. Since the Holy Ghost was given, we have been empowered supernaturally to be witnesses unto him, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. In other words, everywhere Christians are, there can be spiritual awakening, effective evangelism, because you have been anointed with the Holy Ghost for that divine purpose. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen. Jesus stood at that great feast, and he said, out of your belly, amen, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. It's not God deciding to pour it out of heaven. It's God. It's us letting God in us pour through us to a world that needs his touch and his grace. God isn't holding it in heaven. His base of operations isn't even heaven anymore. Where does the water come from? Out of whose belly? Out of whose spirit? Out of whose innermost being? Out of your belly. God has come to live in us. The Holy Ghost has come to indwell us. So, getting the Holy Ghost in us, no problem for God. Getting the Holy Ghost to flow through us like he wants it to for his divine purpose, that's a big issue. Because we're happy to shout and dance and get a liver shiver and get a blessing. It's the get me. Amen. And you know why we go stagnant after all of those greatest blessings God can pour on us? Because God didn't give us the Holy Spirit to keep getting more of. They'd stayed in the upper room and said, boy, that was so good, I want some more. Everybody say, I want some more. I mean, I know how that can happen. It's good, isn't it? Amen. I mean, you know, when you go to the spout where the glory comes out, isn't it good when that begins to happen to you? Wouldn't you like to experience it over and over and just say, Lord, do it again, do it again, do it again. Well, he's already done it. Can you say, man? He's done it for you. He's done it for me. Now what does he want to do? He wants to flow through us, not just to us. He never wanted us to be a vase holding this water. He wanted us to be a pitcher that he could fill so we could pour out, so he could fill, so we could pour out, so he could fill, so we could pour out, so he could fill, so we could pour out, so he could fill, so we could pour out, so he could fill, so we could pour out. And as long as we pour out, he's going to pour in. You're not hearing this tonight. It's the fact that we're not pouring out is the reason he's not pouring any more in. Can you say amen? Because he's filled us to the brim. That's why you fell out. You couldn't hold it anymore. Can you say amen? He filled us to the brim. That's why you shouted and danced, because you're filled up to the brim. What happens when you're filled up to the brim? You go out of here and pour out, hallelujah, with your witness and with your testimony and with your love and with your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And what happens when you pour out? Oh, you're going to run out. No, he's going to pour in. Remember the cruse of oil? Bring me vessels, not a few. What happened? Amen. She says, we're going to be sold to the debtors as bond slaves if we can't get some money in here some way. He said, what have you got? Said, I got a little bit of oil in a bottle. Well, bring me vessels, not a few, the prophet says. Amen. When she fills the room with vessels, takes that one and begins to pour. What happens when she begins to pour? Nothing happens until she begins to pour. If she holds on to that that's in the vessel, nothing happens when she starts pouring into other vessels. Are you getting this tonight? Everybody say pouring into other vessels that are empty. What happens? They start filling up, filling up, filling up. And as long as there's a vessel to be filled, and as long as they pour, they keep filling up. I'm going to believe we need spiritual awakening in America. I've had 3 amens, 2 holy murmurs, a couple of nods and a twitch or two. Can you say amen? I'll take that though. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe we need spiritual awakening in America? How many believe we can do better than we're doing for Jesus? How many believe we need to pour out more? God has poured in so very much. There are some people so self-consumed. The biggest problem they have is they're consumed with their problem. You didn't hear me. Biggest problem they got is their consumption with their problem. They're consuming, amen, concern about their problem instead of the plight of the lost, the damned, and the dying. I'll tell you something. There are people who would trade problems with you. There's people who would trade problems with me tonight, trade the pressures that I have in a minute. Can you say amen? Listen, the church, it needs this mighty awakening of God. We need to be stirred tonight. There's a waiting world out there for people to walk out of church, amen, and not just blend into society just like everyone else, but to come out with something to offer and something different. It's the lack of pouring out. It's failing to see the harvest. It's failing to understand the time. It's the missed opportunities to be the witness we need. Everybody wants to witness for Christ, but we get so busy with our own life, God can't show us anything. We're too wrapped up with our whatever. Some of the conversations just before church service tells you where your heart and mind is. How can God get through that and show you the harvest? Amen? I don't even like to talk to anyone before service. It brings me down. I have studied salt and prayed, and my soul is stirred. And some things I'm not, at that moment, I am so uninterested. Because in the light of souls that are lost, it don't matter. It ain't worth a hill of beans. In light of eternity, it's junk. Amen? Junk. Sometimes right after a powerful service, some of the conversations turn me flat off. God moves mightily, and immediately we can flip that switch onto us and little old incidental nothings without following through with God Almighty. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And then, and that's in the middle of anointed service. How can God get our attention in the middle of our busy week to show us a field or show us an opportunity? Hello? What do you fill us with the Spirit for? Toy to play with, you'd think, in many circles today. It's a tool to work with. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? You shall receive what after the Holy Ghost comes upon you? What do you get when the Holy Ghost, other than the liver shiver and the blessing and the shout, what has God granted to you, given to you? You shall receive power. Everybody say supernatural ability. Amen. Glory to God. That means God can work through you. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God can work through you. You know what he needs? He needs a vessel of honor so he can use it. My Bible says in a great house there are many vessels. There's a lot of people that have been called and appointed and anointed. He said, I've ordained you that you go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit might remain. Can you say amen in John 15, the great fruit-bearing scripture? I have ordained. Ordination is not just for preachers. There's an ordination to ministry. But every Christian is ordained to be a witness for Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen. And I don't mean that you're bold door knocking. I'm not talking about collaring people and getting to pray phony prayers so you can chalk it up to your a list of people you won to Jesus. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about, amen, living our life in a way that other people recognize there's something different about those folks. Spiritual awakening makes you different. You get enthused about the things of God. You're not just a Sunday morning nominal church goer. You are absolutely excited about serving Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow. So do we need spiritual awakening in America? We define it in those terms? Absolutely. Is God the one that's holding back? Not after the day of Pentecost. Can you say amen? What brought the revival in Wales? What brought that mighty Welsh revival? Coal miners begin to get so hungry for God.
Hallelujah.
They worked 12 hours a day, hard labor, and fasted. You didn't hear me. They fasted. They said, we will do something to show how hungry we are for a move of God. We don't want to see all of our friends and our family lost and damned and dying. We want God to break through all of this in mighty revival. One of the preachers that went to preach, called to preach at the Welsh Revival. He went and he got there late. He was delayed and he went through all these different roads and means of transportation. He ended up in the town where they had a church on a hill he was supposed to preach at, and everything was dark. Amen. And everybody was asleep, and it was after 11 o'clock at night. Amen. And he met someone, said, where's this church? And they said, well, it's right up there. And he said, well, tomorrow I shall go up there, and because I was supposed to preach tonight. And the guy told him, says, you better go now. They're all waiting. Everybody say spiritual hunger. They're waiting. Amen. He said at 11 o'clock at night, he went in a building full of people waiting for the word of God. Not going home, not going to sleep, not caring about what tomorrow came. Let's hear from God tonight. That's the Welsh revival. They were not satisfied with mediocrity. They were not satisfied watching the devil steal their children, break up their homes and tear up their lives. They begin to cry out to God, and God responded, not because of a dispensation that he decided to move, but hearts that said, I want you more than I want anything else. Somebody give God praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. How many know God responds to spiritual hunger? I guarantee you everybody in here get hungry for God. Hey, it will be the dispensation of the outpouring. Really, that's not true, because it's not ever since Pentecost. The power, the presence of God has been available to the church. Amen. Ever since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit didn't leave any generation. Can you say amen? But every successive generation has had supernatural power granted through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the inflowing and overflowing of the Holy Spirit. Out of your belly. Say, out of my belly. See, Scripture says it this way, and we'll read this in a hurry. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that he commands from on high. No. If you're praying for God to turn it loose, you got it all messed up. If you're praying to God to turn it loose, as if God is holding it back, if we can just urge him to send revival, it'll come. Charles Finney was one of the greatest, most effective evangelists of his age. And he said one of the greatest misnomers in the church about revival and misunderstandings is that God has it, and we pray for God to send it down. He says it doesn't come from heaven to earth. It comes from us to the world.
Amen.
Listen to this scripture. God is able to do it. This is because of the supernatural ability given us by the Holy Spirit. Not just tongues, not just prophecy, not just being able to get free in the Spirit and shout and enjoy all these wonderful blessings. Listen, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Everybody got a belly? Touch it just for a minute. The power that worketh where? Where he's sown it. In us. In my innermost being. In your innermost being. That power resides. This is fantastic stuff. Everybody say fantastic stuff. In the scripture it's called dunamis. And you know what dunamis means in the Greek? Don't tell me dynamite. Dynamite is limited. Dynamite can only do so much. Dunamis has no limits. Dynamo, no, that won't work either. As powerful as a dynamo is, where water from a dam is channeled to turn these huge turbines and power a huge city, it can't touch it. This is God's power in you. The God that created the universe has nothing to do with dynamos or dynamite. Has something, everything to do with a God who is almighty. Everybody say almighty. Hallelujah. According to the power that worketh where? In us. Now when Jesus said that, he clarified something. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, for he was not yet given. But once he was given, then it begins in us. Never been a revival without the church having a spiritual awakening. Never been sinners just rushing in while we go about our daily affairs, business as usual. Never happened. It happens when people begin to seek God. Hallelujah. I call it divine dissatisfaction. You know what that means? That God has been good and I'm so blessed and everything is so wonderful, but I am not satisfied with just going to church and enjoying my physical and material blessings. There's more to God than that. Everybody say there's more to God than that. And there's more to do than just that. Hallelujah. Amen. There's more to do than just that. I sit down before a microphone on Tuesday to make the disc that's going to go out to the radio station. And I feel God. I feel the presence. I tell you what, I used to have to go to church and try to work it up to feel it back when I first became a Christian. Now all I need is to find a place to pour out. Amen? Because when I pour out, guess what? He pours in. Everybody say, when I pour out, he pours in. Everybody say, I can't pour out more than he can pour in. No matter how much I pour out, as long as he keeps pouring in, I can keep on pouring out. That's what sustains revival. Everybody say, that's what sustains revival. When you first got saved, you wanted to help people. You wanted to help hurting people. Sit up all night long in the hospital with somebody. And guess what? You got tired. It eat into your time, but God kept pouring in. Amen. Amen. We got to where we didn't have time and we couldn't find the compassion and we then we're running on our own steam again. We're wondering why the Holy Ghost don't just fall on us on every service. He wants to pour out, he'll pour in. Amen. Spiritual awakening allows for that. Amen. What would it be like, amen, for people to be sitting in a church at 11 o'clock and say, we ain't leaving until we hear the Word of God? I told you about the brother that's part of the Independent Assemblies of God that preached in the Philippines in the real humid heat outside. Air conditioners laboring to hold it down in here because we're all on fire for God and it's adding to the heat. Praise God. And we'll deal with the heat. You just stay on fire in here. Praise God. I know I'm generating some heat tonight. I can see Ditter sweating. Anyway, moving right along. Amen. God is, I love Ditter. We can only play that way with her. Anyway, God is so good tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. In the Philippines, where it's sweltering, where the humidity is so very high. Amen. Brother Wasden preached down there through an interpreter. He preached for a solid hour in the hot sun, and people were standing. He was sweating through his clothes. He saw them sweating through their clothes. He thought, boy, they have stayed here for a solid hour for the Word of God. What hungry people. Amen. He closed his message. Amen. And he sat down, and no one moved. No one moved a muscle. Brother Wasden said, it took me back because I'm not used to that. He said, when I closed my service in America, in an air-conditioned building, you think the roadrunner's fast. Beep, beep, pew! Amen. And I know we have agendas, and sometimes I've had to run out to get to work on time. I'm not criticizing anyone, but I'm saying no one moved. No one moved. Brother Clyde Wasden, little kind of short, stocky guy, you know. He's got a great ministry in the Word, but he's not some, you know, he's not a pretty boy preacher. Amen. And I'm not either. But listen to this. Amen. They stayed. It wasn't the dynamic of his personality or charisma that held them. What was holding them was they were hungry for the living God. Can you say? You know what David said? He said, as the hart pants after the water brooks. Amen. There's something intuitive in that young deer that says, I've got to stop looking for food. I've got to stop running around the forest. I've got to find me a place to get some water. I will dehydrate. I will die. There's nothing more important right now than using all of my senses to find the water hole and to drink deeply of that water. And he gets so thirsty, he pants after the water brook. Can you say amen? He's consumed with thirst. He's not going to do anything until that thirst is slaked by wonderful cool water. And he said, my soul is like that deer that's so thirsty. Amen. My soul is just like that deer. My soul panteth as the hart pants after the water brooks. So my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul panteth after the living God. Someone asked a great sage preacher, visited him. They were out in the man's pasture land where there was a pond where the cattle came to drink. He said, I would give anything this young man who was this older minister, he's just a mentor to him. He said, I would give anything. And they were sitting right at the edge of this pond. Dropped right off. He said, to about 2 or 3 feet, he said, I would give anything to know God like you know God. So you know what he was looking for? The tape set. He was looking for the 6 or 8 or 12 principles of seeking. You know? Tell me these things that I need to know and then I can do what you did. And you know what the guy did? He grabbed him by the back of the neck and held his head underwater. I mean, it took him by surprise, so the young man, being obviously stronger, didn't start even putting up a fight at first. It shocked him too much. He said, I want to know what it takes to know God like you know God. And he grabbed him by the back of the neck and shoved his head under the water. And you know, when he realized he wasn't letting him up, he started pushing back and flailing his arms and finally pushing back so hard until he could feel the older man's hand quivering on the back of his neck, and then the older man let him go. And he said, when you want God as bad as you wanted that breath just then, you'll find God like I know him, son. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great to see something in America called hunger for the living God? Amen. We've seen, amen, the church become so program laden because we've got to keep them entertained because that real hunger doesn't exist and real revival won't come until it does. Hello? Hello? Don't call it revival because 10,000 people go to a building on Sunday. That puts on a great show for them. They go to Daytona also, 10,000 people. Hello? More than that, go to the state fair too. There's enough to see and do. You get enough to see and do, they'll come. You build it, they'll come. Except you become as a little child, you can't see the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Because it don't come with observation. It's a kingdom that comes within. Glory to God, and it brings righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow. Everybody say spiritual awakening. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Romans 13:11. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness or in chambering or in wantonness, and not in strife and envying. Not in strife and envying. Not in strife and envying. You know what Jesus said? Beware of surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. He covered all of this, didn't he? That that day come upon you as God's people, as a thief. For as a snare it shall come upon all of those inhabitants of the earth. And the Bible said we should be careful to be ready to stand before Him and not be unprepared for His coming and our accountability for the way we've lived our lives. Amen? Amen? Beware of all the things that drain us, that distract us, that disarm us from our war stance, because we're a sleeping giant empowered by God Himself for His eternal purpose. What Romans 13, 11 through 13 again is addressing is how to be stripped of the artificial stuff in our Christian lives that so that we can experience the power and victory of truly following Jesus. And that the world may see the genuineness of our faith. How many believe the world deserves to see the authentic from the church? Well, the authentic is spiritual awakening, revival. It's not just a bunch of people that don't go out and drink no more sitting in church on Sunday, but getting drunk on the cares of this life. We've just changed bottles. Cares of this life does what to the word? The preacher might as well not preach until we deal with that issue. Cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and cause it to become unfruitful, just like weeds choke a young tender plant coming up. That's why you can have dynamic preaching and have people that are dull of hearing in an audience. And when they blend into their job site or they blend into their workplace, they blend so well you can't tell them from anybody else till Sunday again. People backslide while sitting in chairs or pews. Their heart becomes cold and indifferent. The enemy takes advantage of their mind and their heart. They're not about their Father's business or it could have never happened to them. Amen. Someone said the old gospel was about an offended God. The new gospel is about a wounded us. The old gospel was about sin. The new gospel is about needs. The old gospel was about our need for righteousness. The new gospel is about our need for fulfillment. The old gospel is offensive to those who are perishing. The new gospel is attractive. It fits into our social environment. It fits into a culture. We need revival. I need it. You need it. The Church of America needs it. Brother Wasden, I'm glad. I only heard him speak one time. Came to Tampa from San Diego with the younger Brother Rasmussen Jr. And Brother Wasden, he said, I ministered at a Presbyterian gathering of ministers and their wives. And they asked me as a Pentecostal preacher, Independent Assemblies of God, secretary to the secretary, I guess. They asked Brother Wasden to come and minister for them, and they had this hotel where all these people came and stayed, and they had this area for the meetings on this side. Have you ever seen the collapsible walls in some of these hotel meeting rooms? That they can put a wall up for a small group, they can take it down and widen it out for a huge group. Well, they had one of these walls, these portable walls put up. But you can hear through those things, especially there's a gap at the top. You could hear them over there preparing the meal. Right on the, he was supposed to, now he wasn't the after dinner speaker, he was the pre-dinner that night speaker. And you know, and there's a lot against you when you're either one, when food is involved, amen? Because if people are hungry for the food, they're going to be looking at their watch. And if people have just eaten, they're going to be falling asleep. So, you know, you're at a disadvantage when food is involved. Brother Wasden said, you know, I sensed that. And I was asked to speak on a topic. I was given the topic that night. The reason they let me come is because they're interested in the Holy Spirit and how ministers need to pay more attention to the place of the Holy Spirit in the church. So he was asked in this particular city at a convention where ministers were coming to minister on the Holy Ghost. And he said, so I got my Bible, I made a few notes, I prayed earnestly that God would use me, but my hopes were not very high because of the condition I was ministering in, the people I was ministering to, totally unfamiliar, many of them, to what we know in Pentecostal circles. Amen. By the way, if you're sitting back with a smug, I got it all, that's holding back revival right there. Get rid of that attitude. Amen. We need to get it pouring through us. How many know we need this tonight? I need this tonight. Praise God. Listen. Amen. So he's standing up there, and he said, we could actually hear them. He said, when I got into my message, about 30 minutes into my message, they knew in another 30 minutes, because we had 1 hour for everything, another 30 minutes, they're going to be ready to call us over to eat. And they were already setting up the tables. You could hear all of the clanging of silverware and glassware, crystal glassware, and plates being put down, and carts with squeaky wheels were squeaking across the floor, amen, as they got ready to serve these people, amen. Their entrees and their salads were being brought out, you know, and everything was being set up because this big herd of hungry preachers, amen, were going to migrate over to the, as soon as they said they were ready for them, and all I had to do was close, amen. And he said, so I brought the message on the Holy Ghost, amen. And he said, I didn't see anybody particularly moved by it. I heard all the clanging and banging. I thought, okay, I brought the message. I put it in your hands, Lord. The next thing we do is go next door and eat, and maybe somebody will come up and say, enjoyed your message, you know, or whatever. Amen. He said it came time to leave, and they came and rang a little bell, ding, 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 after I closed and said, dinner is served. And they took, amen, two petitions of these fold-out petitions. They rolled them back so there's an open way into the dining area. And nobody, he said, God, again, captivated those people. Nobody moved. He said, I looked to the moderator and I said, what? What do I do now? He said, I don't know. He said, well, what do they want? And a minister got up from the front row and came up to the podium. And he says, we want to hear more about the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
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 Dinner can wait. See, when you get hungry like that, when everything isn't framed in what's for me, and you get hungry for God. I don't know what those preachers went out and did after that service, but I know they heard another hour on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because you get a Holy Ghost anointed preacher and you get people hungry for God. Amen. There's plenty more. I want you to know when you leave tonight, there's plenty more in here. I want you to know in your Christian life, there's plenty more in here. Not in me, but in you. Can you say amen? There's untapped resources. Amen. God's holy heavenly ability has been granted to us through the Holy Ghost so that we can be witnesses unto Him. That there is a God in heaven and there's a God in us and a God in the earth because of us. All hell won't break loose on this earth during the Antichrist's reign. Literally break loose until he that letteth is taken out of the way. Can you say amen? And I believe it's the church of Jesus Christ that has that kind of authority and power upon this planet. We're the sleeping giant. True revival begins with spiritual awakening. There will be no inbreaking of the kingdom of God in the church. Let me go back. I want to read something else before that. One preacher put it this way, we should be expecting things to happen amongst us which have no other explanation than being an inbreaking of God's kingdom. Let me read that to you again. We should be expecting things to happen amongst us as children of God. Not just Pentecostals, but children of God. Amen? That have no other explanation than an inbreaking of the kingdom of God. If God should reign anywhere in this earth at this moment, it should be in the hearts of His children. Where we are gathered, God should have free reign. His will should be done in earth in this place, just like it is in heaven. None of us should be holding that back. We should be letting that flow. When His will flows in here like it does in heaven, someone comes through that door that's addicted to something and wants to be free, it don't matter what they're addicted to. God's going to set them free. Can you say amen? There's going to be an inbreaking of the kingdom of God. The devil won't hold high court in here. This is where his authority stops. This is where God's reign is supreme. He reigns out there in the darkness, but not in here in the light. Can you say amen? That's where the darkness stops. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in here tonight. Let's stand to our feet and give God praise. I'm done preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. God is a gracious and good God. Number two, if you will, let's worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready to be stirred up enough for God to use you in this last day? If you're ready to pour out, I'm going to tell you something. God's ready to pour in. God's ready to pour in. This is a little group of people. We don't have a lot of things for everybody to do, but we have something for you to do. Can you say, man, you can pray. You can believe with us. You can get in here with the word of God. When people come through that door, and they will come in the future, you can stand with us to see souls saved. You can pray for the radio broadcast. You can rejoice, hallelujah, for two of them on the air, and God's going to take them to places we never dreamed. Hallelujah. You know why? Because we have a heart to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's going to use you. God's going to use me. Hallelujah. Let's lift him up tonight. I love him for what he's done. Do you love him for what he's done? Isn't he a good and gracious God tonight? Hallelujah. Let's just give him some praise in here.